Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of A Good Book Review, a podcast where we sit down and review a wide variety of books that have been written for a Christian audience. My name is Chase Vitort, and this is Alex Daniels.
Hey everyone, we're back again today with our featured guest, Neil Vance. In today's program, Neil will be debriefing a book called Garden City by John Mark Comer. Garden City was first published in July of 2015 by Zondervan and can be bought at the time of this recording for a price just shy of $18. I will say, Neil used to be my youth pastor in high school, so he probably can tell some pretty weird stories about me being a high school student.
Oh boy.
Hopefully he doesn't, but
yeah, this is my first time getting to meet Neil, so I'm grateful for this conversation. He currently serves as the director of youth and children's ministries at First Covenant Church here in River Falls, Wisconsin. He's been here for about 7 years. Prior to serving in that role, Neil attended Bethel University, graduating in 13 with degrees in biblical and theological studies, youth ministry, and reconciliation studies. On top of that, we asked Neil for some interesting other facts, and he talked to us a little bit about how he would call himself a spiritual mutt, so I'm looking forward to hearing more on that. And then also your fun fact, Neil, if you could debrief both those things for us, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, guys, and yeah, it's really fun to see you, Alex. It's always fun to connect with old students, down the line a little bit. But yeah, one interesting thing about myself, so I grew up in northern Minnesota, really kind of up in the woods, and I'm hesitant to sometimes tell people some of these parts because I think it like reinforces some stereotypes people have. But I actually grew up without really basically indoor plumbing until I was like 18. So we had a kitchen sink in our house, but we did not have an indoor bathroom. And so we had an outhouse. We had a sauna where we could heat water up and bathe that way. But yeah, I love my childhood, but man, there were some the cold winter nights. That was not fun. So so that's kind of an interesting fun thing about myself that I think is a pretty unique for people.
Wild. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't think too many listeners will be relating to that too much, but at least hopefully. Right. Well, first question of the podcast for you, Mr. Vance. How did you initially come to learn about John Mark Comer's Garden City, and what drew you to wanting to read it initially?
Yeah, so, I've just, over the last few years, become more and more familiar with John Mark Comer. My wife, Sarah, actually kind of got connected, and she has a friend who lives out in Portland, and it was familiar with his church. And so I actually started listening to some of his sermons from Bridgetown Church out there in Portland. And then through that, kind of got connected to some of his books. And so in particular, this Garden City is a book that my wife read first and really enjoyed. And so kind of had recommended that I read it sometime. And so it was on my list to read. And glad I did.
All right. Sweet.
So Garden City bears the subtitle Work, Rest, and the Art of Being Human. Could you tell us a little bit more about the title of the book and how it relates to the overarching theme of the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really just follows, Comer kind of follows this arc of creation, and specifically looking at this idea of like, how were we as humans created, and kind of what were those purpose? And so kind of looking, he teases out this idea of that we were created in God's image and kind of looking at that this is a God who worked and who rested, and that is kind of really crucial to what it means to be created in his image. And then he kind of brings it around to this idea of what he views eternity to look like in some ways. And that's kind of this view of Garden City that kind of will, I think, share a little bit more on kind of as we go through this time.
So. Awesome. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about the layout of the book? How does Comer structure that process?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it really is kind of three parts. It's laid out in three parts, but that's very intentional, and that there are like three distinct themes. So the first distinct theme is really looking at this idea of work, specifically, and kind of in a way that was different for me. It's just this idea that we were created to work, that this is a part of what it means to be human, that it's kind of in our DNA, if you will, to work. And then so he moves into that part two, is that but we're also created to rest. And looks at this idea of Sabbath and how that God has put that into our rhythm as humans. So that kind of is the whole second section and all the chapters there. And then he finishes up with a shorter part on just kind of the culmination of like, okay, we're created to work, and here's what this looks like. We're created to rest. This is what it looks like. And then the third part is just on this theme of Garden City, and this view of like that this is not just something for now, this work and rest rhythm, but this is also for eternity. And this is kind of this view of what kind of our, you know, forever going on is, the kind of the view of heaven, if you will, but it's not so much a view of heaven. It's like, what does eternity look like? And kind of this picture of the last couple chapters of Revelation. And so this view of like the new heaven and a new earth, and what does it look like to be human in the new earth?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Neil. I believe the title is also based out of Revelation, right? Like Gardens. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. What makes this book especially commendable to our listeners? Like, what would you be like, oh, yeah, you guys should read this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, he's just a very engaging author. Like, it's a very readable book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like you can flip through it pretty well. I mean, even if you just look at a page, it's just inviting because there's like, the paragraphs are well spaced out, you know, short paragraphs, like lots of bolding and different things. So it's easy to pick it up. Like it's not overwhelming, but it's also, he just has a wonderful writing style. You know, very engaging. He's good humor in it. Lots of stories mixed in.
Okay.
And just, you know, it's a very readable book. And that's just, you can like, and his voice just comes through really well in it too, which is nice. And he's just like very sharp and insightful, but with very relatable, which is really refreshing for myself personally. I'm not someone that can get bogged down in really deep or really dry reading. And this was really easy to read.
Awesome. Neil, were there any ideas that stuck out to you as especially novel on your first pass through the book?
Yeah, well, I think just first of all, his looking at this idea, like none of this, it was earth-shatteringly new, but it was like familiar themes with like a twist and just thinking a little bit different about things. And so there's a lot of conversation around vocation and like calling, particular as it pertains to like work and our jobs. But what was kind of different about that was connecting this to like the Garden of Eden, connecting this to, you know, what he would say, like, or Revelation would say, like this garden city that's kind of eternity going forward. And I hadn't really thought of work in those ways before. And I just wanted to, you know, touch on one little thing he kind of, to sum this up on page 251 of the book, he says this, where he says, "This is what's waiting for us, not an eternal vacation in the sky, but an eternity of working and resting in this world completely remade, from top to bottom by the Creator, ruling over the earth side by side with Jesus himself forever." And in this, it's like this idea that, like, I guess what he looks at and what this quote is kind of looking at is that work continues into the new earth. And I think a lot of our views of, you know, of eternity, of life after, you know, Jesus comes again is like, I don't know if we get this picture of, well, one, we think of like heaven, right? So being up in the clouds sometimes. And it's just like laying around, or like even some of the areas in Revelation is like just actively like worshiping, which I certainly think will be pieces of it. But really what he looked at and what was new to me, to this idea that like we're created to work. God has made us to be people that work and that rest. And so why would that change in the new earth? And so, there was a lot of themes on that were new to me. Like I'd never thought about like, hey, there's going to be work in eternity. but it's going to be fully like fulfilling work. It's not going to be the like 9-to-5 drag that some maybe experience in the here and now. But it's this idea of, that there is going to be work, but it's going to be really fulfilling. It's going to be really just positive, and just because that's part of what it means to be human. And one other thing with that was just this idea of that there's carryover, like what we do now matters. And I'll touch on that a little bit more, but just this idea of like that we're called to do our best now, because it's not just like this life. We're called to live our best life. We're called to become more into the image of who God has created us to be, but also like the what we do also matters because we are created. Like some of that carries into eternity and we don't really know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it really helped me think differently. And some of those things were not brand new, but some were. And I hadn't really thought of work continuing into the new earth and what that will look like for us. And I don't know that we fully can this side of eternity, but yeah, like looking at some of those passages that were brought up and looking at Revelation and looking at, you know, back to Genesis, it was just, yeah, a really interesting theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was new for me in some ways.
Yeah. So some of your high school student boys will not like the idea of having to work made to work.
I don't know that this preaches really well because people in certain jobs, but I think the point is like, and part of what he looks at is like, this is why it matters that we're doing work that's fulfilling now and like trying to looking for a vocation that's like who God has created us to be and what, where do we get life and all those things. It's because we're not just trying to get to the end of our life and like, hey, that's it for work. It's like, hey, we need to learn how to enjoy work now because that's probably going to be a part of our life with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting for me.
Cool. Aside from those ideas, did you have any like favorite quotes that you'd be willing to read for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's a lot.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
It's easy to find quotes in his writing. Because,
yes.
I'm someone who I'm coming around to realizing I need to be okay like underlining in books and things because otherwise it's hard to find things.
Right.
Like
mm-hmm. Yep.
But like, yeah, there's just things underlined all over the place in here. So, I wanted to read kind of from, and this is actually from the epilogue. And so this is just after he's kind of finished this theme on the Garden City, giving this vision. And so he kind of, these are some closing thoughts. So this is from page 287. It says, so just remember one last thing. If your dreams are all about you, then your dreams are way too small. You need to dream larger than your job or career or net worth or name or body. You need to dream dreams as large as Jesus's vision of the kingdom, a kingdom where greatness has been radically redefined around a crucified Messiah,
mm-hmm.
where children are the guests of honor, where servants lead and leaders serve, where the last are first. So whatever your calling is, whatever you end up doing with your life, please, please don't do it for yourself. That's such an overdone, cliche, uncreative way of living. We've been there, done that. It's a waste of oxygen. Do your work as an expression of love and service, ultimately to God and then to your neighbor. You know, maybe you'll make a ton of money or maybe you'll just have enough. Maybe you'll become a household name all over the world. The odds are you won't. Maybe you'll see your reward this side of resurrection or maybe not until the next. But none of that matters. That's not why you do it. You do it because God made you to do it, because it's good, because it has a bearing on this world and the world to come, because when all is said and done, it matters. And so, yeah, I mean, that's really almost how he ends this book. And so just this idea around just reshaping what we're living for and how we do these things. And so, I just think this sums up well kind of some of his themes that show up in that.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Neil. Next question for you is this. Was there anything in the book that you found to be controversial or that which you disagreed with, or maybe that a potential reader could find controversial?
Well, I mean, there is some different thoughts in here, right? And some different way of looking at things. Just a couple things. I mean, nothing really major. But the one thing that I just kind of in the early chapters on work,
mm-hmm.
Just his framing of vocation and calling, and kind of this idea of like that there is a clear thing that you should be doing. That I just think, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with it. What makes me nervous, I guess I should say, is just this idea. Like, I've just been in an experience, and I know others, where sometimes if you're just looking for that one specific thing, it can lead to a lot of not doing things.
Right.
Or it can lead to, like, feeling like work or calling should always be 100% clear and 100% fulfilling and just all of those pieces. And I think he does a good job reading, like, as you go through the book of kind of making clear that that's not always the case. But I do know that's something that I am always nervous of. And I think the way he frames vocation in the beginning made me a little bit nervous in that way. And maybe that's because I'm someone who I feel like I'm where God needs me to be. But there's never been, I've never had a clear, like, hey, this is what you're going to do for your whole life, as some people have.
Sure.
And I've wrestled with those things, and I've heard of other, you know, just had conversations with others who really wrestled with vocation and what are they supposed to be doing with their lives, and what has God created them to do. And I just think that sometimes it's just not as clear as we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if we're expecting it to be fully clear or fully fulfilling, we may be missing opportunities that are right before us. And so, and again, I think I agree with where he ends up, but just some of those steps to get there, I think just reading through, it's like, if you didn't read the whole thing, it made me nervous kind of
of
how he spells out how clear things should feel.
Gotcha. So I also really enjoy Garden City myself. I did have a couple of things that I also wanted to note at this point. One of them was just on, like, he talks a little bit about military, specifically like snipers and like drone pilots. And he's like, essentially talks about how that couldn't possibly be a vocation. He says he doesn't think God would call somebody to that. So I would just think for my brothers in Christ who do serve in the military, who I have the utmost respect for, I think that might be a little bit tough for them to read. And I'm not sure that I would put my name to that. The other thing that I wasn't a huge fan of, and it was ironic because after reading this quote that I'll read in a second here, I heard him preach on it. And I was like, oh, so he still does believe this. He writes this on page 84 at the bottom. You're not on your own in this, at least not if you're a follower of Jesus. I very much believe that God is with you. He's involved. Now, I'm no fatalist. I don't think that everything that happens is from God's hand. I would put it this way. God is involved in your story to the degree that you open up your life to his authorship. I have no doubt there's probably going to be some listeners who do agree with that. But also, I also know, myself included, there's probably some who would not agree with that theology. So just so readers are aware, not taking a huge stance there, I still love this book. But I think it's something worth noting as far as controversy potential.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just with that, it's it really just kind of comes down to what your views are on God's involvement in a lot of things. And just like, what does, I mean, this is not a question or a secret, like, theological debate,
right? Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, where you fall on, like, a, you know, Calvinism, Arminian scale would very much kind of be in some of those.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So,
yep.
Anyway, I think kind of where his views are on that is, it seems, I mean, he makes it clear kind of where he's at on that,
mm-hmm.
but also I don't know that it dramatically impacts kind of what he's laying out in the book.
I agree with you completely. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. All right. On another note, what type of person would be most impacted by this book?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, so I do recommend the book. I think most impactful is just, like, you know, if you're struggling with feeling contentment in life or just even purpose, I think that this would be a good read to look at kind of how we've been created as humans. Like, I think it's a good dive into just where, like, how did God create us? Looking at who is this God that created us, like, kind of looking at that beginning start in Genesis. Like, people who are maybe looking for purpose or just looking for answers or are kind of trying to even discern vocation or ideas. Like, I think he does a really good job of laying out some of those steps of, like, hey, what are the kinds of ways you should be looking for? What is your vocation? Or your calling, where he looks at some of the things of, like, you know, what are you good at? What is the world lacking? What is, you know, what is honoring to God? Like, some of those things and some of those ways he puts it, I think, was insightful for me. And so I think it might be most appealing to people in that camp, but I really think for all of us, it's a good reflection on just our purpose and what are we living for and just our outlook on this life and this world, and particularly work, because we know that that's something that isn't necessarily the pinnacle or everyone's excited about work a lot of the time. And so how do we reframe our attitude and our mentality sure. towards that? And so I think that's something we can, most of us can benefit from. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Neil, question for you. We got two more. We're going to try to wrap up after that. Are there any other books on the topic of vocation that you have found to be especially helpful?
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't read a ton on this topic. I will say one other that's coming from a very... it's a very different, it's been a while since I read this book, but when I was in college, I read the book, like, Just Do Something.
Yes, Kevin DeYoung. I was literally going to jump in on that.
Yeah. I found that incredibly helpful because kind of looking at what I see as kind of a danger of this is like the kind of paralysis of like needing to find the perfect thing.
Yep.
I think this is a good balance to that in his book where it's like the most important thing is like check off these boxes. And then, like, just do something. Like, don't wait for, like, Saturday or something.
Right. So, yeah, that's ironic. We just put that on the Instagram just under a month ago, that book on our recommending. That's funny.
Would you say there are any other books by John Mark Comer that you'd recommend our listeners to listen to? Or read, sorry. Not unless you decide to read, listen to it like on audiobooks.
Sure.
I'm making audible. No sense.
You're
Word
good,
salad.
Dude.
Yeah, there's audiobooks. You know, the only other book I've actually read to this point is God Has a Name. And I love that. It's just a really deep dive into who God says he is and his character and really, really found that phenomenal. I also know I would recommend, even though I haven't read it, I've listened to a lot of his teachings and sermons around The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yep.
Just another really, really timely one, I think, for it. And that's really recent. That's just out last year.
It came out just right before the pandemic of last year in 2020. Another thing on that, I would say that book pairs really well with Garden City. So I actually read that before Garden City. And yeah, that one's all about, he talks on essentially 4 points of how to kind of slow down, take Sabbath. I can't remember the other two off the top of my head, but yeah, highly would endorse that. And then Labology is another great one of his. But anyways, that is unfortunately all the time that we have for today's podcast, Neil. But again, we just want to extend some sincere gratitude towards you. We are incredibly grateful for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. If any of our listeners are interested in contacting you or your church, how should they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can shoot me an email, Neil, that's N-E-I-L, and then at rfcov.org, or, you know, I can find other information on our website, which is rfcov.org. You can find my contact there if you need.
Cool beans.
If you, the listeners, enjoyed hearing about Garden City, we encourage you to check it out for yourself.
As always, if you're interested in reaching out to get in touch with myself or Chase, please feel free to email us at agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow along on the Instagram page at @a.good.book.review, where we'll post weekly updates.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again next time with episode 22, where Chase will unpack Greg Gerrit's book, Assured, which is all about assurance of salvation.
That's right. Until next time, God bless.